This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship video by St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on December 12, 2021. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
For this fourth, third Sunday of Advent is written in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 3, beginning at the 7th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. And John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. It's good to see you, and many of you will know there's a reference to me having a recent gardening accident which affected my eyesight. So it is really good to see you today. And then to exhort you by saying, you brood of vipers, who told you you could escape the coming wrath? This is I believe we're experimenting a new strategy for our welcoming at the door of the church. No, it's not. I'm playing the opposite game. I played it last night, and when my wife said you can't have another piece of cheesecake, I thought we were playing that game. You brood of vipers. Watch out for vipers. During one of my first visits to Melbourne in the early 80s, I was driving around the city. I not only was warned about the hook turns of Hookganistan, but also about the vipers. Now, I know that there are no vipers in Australia. They are a very distinct genus of snakes. The likes of rattlesnakes and cottonmouths, which are found in other continents, but not here in Australia. And so it was also long before Melbourne's volleyball team was called the Vipers. So there were no vipers in Melbourne, and I knew that. But as you may have guessed, I was being warned by someone with a very thick, strong accent about the vipers. You know, the vipers? Those people wanting to wash your windows at the traffic lights. Yeah. These people wanting to wash your windows at the traffic lights for money, watch out for them with their squirt bottles and their long-handled vipers. Yeah, well, I've got to warn you today, there are vipers in the church. And even at times, I have a viper in my heart. And God warns me, through John the Baptist, "Who told you, Phil, that you could escape the coming judgment?" I think there was a rhetoric question on John's behalf, on behalf of God, but in actual fact, it was God who was warning us. He has ability and power. He wants to change the vipers into the children of God. If he can turn stones into the children of Abraham, he can certainly change our hearts. So who warned us? Well, the Holy Spirit warns us. We come to hear God's word today. Through John the Baptist, God spoke to vipers, and there may be some in our midst today. I know there are in my own heart too. Far outside the walls of the holy city, John proclaimed a message to God's people to shake them from their comfortable, self-satisfied way of living as proud children of Abraham. For blindly self-assured, they thought that their Jewishness would save them from the coming days of judgment. And so they ignored the spirit of the law. They went through the motions of their faith. For after making a sacrifice, which was required them by the law, one could carry on without much remorse, effort, or desire to change. But what God desires, and John clearly proclaimed that, he desires a change of heart for us to repent and turn to him. And as John prepared people for the coming of Messiah, his words were rather confronting. Many took offense at him, and some watched with amusement. They came out to see a funny man. And yet others understood his calling to repent and change in their own lives. And not much has changed in terms of proclamation of God's word. Some people will take offense. Others just look at the spectacle. And yet others hear God calling, that call to change, to repent, to be reborn by the Spirit. And John was birthing an era of repentance, calling for fruit, the fruit of a contrite heart lived to God. So we shouldn't judge these people in John's time without seeing in ourselves similar pride and lip service bordering on hypocrisy. For secure in our Christian inheritance, are we also not tempted to believe that we are saved by who we are and what we have done? Do we come here to be confirmed in our own righteousness each week? Or do we ask for God's mercy and seek to be transformed again and again by our baptism, to be shaped by his call to repent and believe? Are we really serious about bearing fruit, the fruit of repentance, and being ready to welcome Christ as our coming King? Yes, we could face the very same charges of God's prophet this Advent. You brood of vipers, who told you you could escape the coming judgment? God spoke just as harshly to earlier generations of his people when their love for him grew cold and their worship rather empty. A quote from Amos chapter 5, where earlier God says to his people, "Seek me and live." He wants us to live. And we hear him say to those people of that time, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen. I'm looking at the choir, sorry. Away! Don't just have empty songs, be from the heart that's changed. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. So let's be very sure of this today. God hates empty and loveless praise. He despises words of repentance and praise one day and commitment that are forgotten the very next. Let's take a moment to consider how our festival celebration this season is going. Does it, our Christmas festival this year, express justice, equity, and mercy? Do the words that we proclaim about joy, love, joy, peace, and hope, are they really shown in our lives, or are we just giving them lip service? Will our gift selections and gatherings be this year pleasing to God when so many are homeless and are in need? just as John called the people of his time to a baptism of repentance in order to prepare for the coming Messiah, our lives are also to be transformed, to bear fruit, evidence of our belonging to Christ and knowing his grace. So let's not just go through the motions of being sorry and turning from past wrongs. Your repentance is to produce good fruit, John told them. Don't just rely on a good name. Your family heritage as descendants of Abraham, or for being Lutherans. God can even make stones into children for Abraham. The tree needs to bear fruit, or it will become firewood. People asked John for some specific examples of what this fruit of repentance might look like. Generosity, concern, and concern for others. Share from the abundance that God has given you. Clothing, food, many other blessings that you have to share. And tax collectors came to the baptism of repentance also, and they asked what it meant for them. John said, don't overcharge, be fair in business. He told soldiers not to abuse their power by extorting money from people and accusing them falsely. Instead, he asked for them to be content. Be content in your pay. What would John advise you to do today? How is the fruit of repentance to reveal itself in the practicalities of your workplace, your daily living? Is there more evidence about your faith other than that you vacate your house on a Sunday morning and go somewhere and come back a couple of hours later? What about the way we celebrate Christmas, this festival of this time of year, the festival of the birth of Christ? Our worship, our festivals, our songs of praise must never be void of love, genuine love and service of others. And I know I'm really thankful the way this community has really responded to the needs of others. We're sponsoring the children of prisoners through the Angel Tree, the Gifts of Grace program through Australian Lutheran World Service, and I know there are many other programs, the big box of something. Of kindness. How's your grocery advent calendar going? How wonderful these things are. Our faith is not just lip service. What is God calling you to do at this time? What is he calling you to repent? How is he asking you to turn? Turn away from what? Turn to what? He despises lukewarm praise and loveless works of obligation. Is your heart burning for him? Do you desire to give him glory? Each Christmas we decorate our homes, and it's wonderful, isn't it? There's always some new lights to shine, and solar lights are the thing at the moment. And we prepare for a wonderful time of gift-giving and sumptuous feasting. Looking forward to Wednesday. Some more feasting. Christian Home Church. It's a special season when family should indeed be valued and celebrated. But God calls us to bear fruit well beyond generosity to one's stomach, to those who love us, who will give us a gift in return. Is a light display and a family lunch really the best fruit that our faith can display at this time of year? God's mercy to us can produce much, much more, and he desires us to fruit that pleases him and also serves the community. So brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ has come to us, baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire, and he calls us to a new life that glorifies our Heavenly Father, that bears fruit. He even enables vipers to repent and have their lives transformed. So examine your heart this day. What do you place your hope in? Is it in your family's Christian heritage, or being Lutheran, or regular church attendance? Extensive Bible knowledge? Don't be fooled. If there is no fruit that accords with repentance, you will be destroyed. It doesn't matter if the tree is Jewish or Gentile or Lutheran. Without fruit, it is lost. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come serving with his perfect sacrificial death And by renewal in the Holy Spirit, he has made us blessed, blessed children of God, that he enables us to turn from falsehood and turn to him, to seek justice, to love mercy and to walk humbly with him in this world, to make a difference through the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. He will keep us ready for his return if we continue to listen to him, so that the fruits of love and joy and hope and peace spread from our lives into the lives of those around us. And that he will receive as true worship that gives him glory. And finally, I'll leave you today with the words of Philippians 4 that we've heard already today. Let your gentleness, and we could add generosity of heart, concern for your neighbour, be evident to all. The Lord is near, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now until he returns. Amen.